Hi, this is Shiri. Welcome to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast. We speak with wonderful people around the world who are making the world a better place because they are dedicated to helping people heal from intergenerational trauma. Sandwich parenting is all about being caught between the way we were parented and the way we now choose to parent our children. Welcome, everybody. Today, I have Gabriella Blanco, and she is from Healing Parents. This is where she is primarily on Instagram, and she is a conscious parenting coach. And I think you're going to love what she does. It's very different. I resonate very much with what she does, and I think that you will too. So please join me in welcoming Gabriella.
Hi, Shiri. Thank you so much for having me. So good to be with you.
I am so glad that you're here. And I had a chance to see your website, which is beautiful, by the way. But more importantly, I just really resonated with your approach. So my first question for you, as it is with most of my guests, is, which by the way, wasn't on your website. So I was kind of really curious about this, but what is your origin story? How did you get into parent coaching?
Okay. Yeah. So before I answer that question, I just wanted to say that as you can imagine, that's how I feel about your work too. There's so much resonance there.
Thank you.
I resonate so much with this vision of really caring about parents and not thinking it's mutually exclusive to care about good parenting, to care about respecting children, and to think that means then we have to shame parents or make parents feel bad about the way they're doing it. So just thank you so much for that approach as well and having this platform for supporting parents.
I love it. Thank you. I'm so glad that you pointed out it's about not shaming the parents, because it's so easy when you're reading books and when you're thinking about it and going, oh my God, I've destroyed my children's lives. You know, that like when you first start, it's you're just thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm doing everything wrong. And like, how do you learn? How do you learn?
Yeah. And even in the parenting world, it's like parenting experts are saying shame doesn't work with kids, but then it's like, shame on you. Doesn't work with parents either. Yeah,
exactly. Especially when we all have our little inner child going inside, going like, ah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we have a little bit of a mutual fan club going here, which is cool. And so how did you get started? You know, what made you become a conscious parent coach?
I've always loved the idea of caring for children. From a very young age, I looked up to my older sisters who were babysitters, or, you know, they babysat when they were teenagers. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I was a nanny. I studied human development. I worked at a preschool. But something I realized as I got older, especially when I was a nanny, is that I really loved watching parents take care of their kids. Like, I really enjoyed watching those interactions. And looking back, I think it's because that's when I really started to see that things could be done differently than I experienced them as a child, and just like really living it and experiencing it as opposed to just, you know, doing it as a nanny. And so I think that's kind of the first time I realized how good it felt to support parents, that bond I had with the woman that I babysat for. So that's, I think that's the first step in that direction. And then when I had my daughter, I hired a parent coach, and I realized just how valuable it can be to have somebody who wants to listen to you, somebody who is rooting for you, and somebody who does have the answers, right? Because sometimes you're just like, wait, there's no book or blog or anything out there that can help me with this very unique dilemma. And it felt so good to have that. It doesn't have to be so prescriptive or so scripted, but when somebody can just say, hey, this is probably what's going on. There's probably this piece here. Here's how your story's probably playing into it after I've listened to you. You know, just that space. I realized that two things happen when you're working with a coach. A lot of things happen, but two really important things. And one is, because you've been able to just talk, like your stress and your all the things that are jumbled up in there kind of settle, and you have access to your own creativity again. So that's one piece of it. But also, you have a thought partner, and you have somebody who's talked to so many different parents and thinks about these things all the time. And it's just one of those like really beautiful relationships to have. And I just feel so lucky that I get to do that as for a job now with other parents.
That's so beautifully put. I really liked how you brought to the forefront what coaches do, because when the parent has a chance to be validated. And sometimes they think that they're terrible. And you're thinking, let me just tell you, that's very normal. And you're normalizing this for them. Their stress level comes down. And when your stress level comes down, you're more within your window of tolerance. And then you have access to creativity. I love that you've connected those two things, because sometimes we forget that when we're that stressed, we really can't access our creativity. So I love that. And I love the idea of a thought partner. I love that it's a partnership.
Yes.
I love that. It's not that there's a hierarchy or I'm an expert and you're not. It's you're an expert on your family. And I've done a lot of research and I've looked at a lot of different families. So we're going to partner together. I love that. I love that. I love
that. Yes, exactly.
I love that. And so you started off from being a nanny and then taking that and parlaying that into a full-time parent coaching business.
Yeah. Once I decided I wanted to do this, I just started giving some workshops with small groups of people to see how I felt doing it, to see how these parents felt doing it. And once I saw that there was potential on both my end and there was interest with the parents here locally, I decided to do the hand-in-hand instructor certification program, which is amazing. And I just was like, I'm going to go for it. I love this. And I have not regretted this decision once. You know, getting to work with parents and growing the community has just been so incredible.
I feel like that joy and that intention is truly reflected in your beautiful website. The language that you use, the way it's put together, it really comes through that that's what you want for parents. So I'm really excited by your work. And so that kind of segues into my second question, because you have a course called the Healing Parents Course, and you said it's 3 months, but what is it? What happens? And how do people sign up for something like this?
Yeah, actually, so it's funny because you also mentioned no scripts, and it doesn't mean that I never in the course or in coaching provide kind of some alternatives, like, okay, well, what if we said this? Or what if instead of asking right away, we just sit for a second and leave some space and wait? So it's not like I'm like, I will never, ever suggest this. I will never. I just feel like people get so caught up and, oh my gosh, I can't say be careful anymore. And it's like,
I agree. Oh my gosh. If people could see my body language right now when I'm talking to you, it's like, yes, I don't want to tell people you can say this, but you can't say that. You can say this, but you can't say. Okay. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. I understand how be careful, be careful, be careful can be really overwhelming for a child.
For sure.
But I think that can also be overwhelming for a parent. And that parent deserves some space to be like, what's really going on is my anxiety. It doesn't really matter if, you know, the phrase I'm using is be careful or not. Or that, wow, I feel anxious. It's really hard for me to just chill at the park. And why is it at the park in particular? Like what, you know, to allow parents to just be curious about the stuff they're doing instead of, oh, shoot, you know, I was on Instagram for 15 minutes and I realized that like 99% of the things I say are wrong or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The anxiety level after you like visit Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so funny.
So we do look at some ideas in the course as far as like how we can shift our language, but the course is a 3-month experience where what I really try to provide is telling the story of connection, like from a biological perspective, from a brain science perspective, even a little bit from a spiritual perspective, from acknowledging our own stories. And then we'll dip into topics, for example, like the principles of nonviolent communication. So when you have those principles, then I don't need to give you 500 scripts. There you go. Not, yes. And I'd love to do a little shout out.
One of my favorite books. Yeah.
Yeah. That you showed me the Marshall Rosenberg, Nonviolent Communication. And there's also this incredible workbook that kind of guides the way I cover nonviolent communication, which is Decolonized Nonviolent Communication by Minachi. So I can send you the information.
Yes, please. So Decolonize Nonviolent Communication. Oh my gosh, excited about that. Yes.
Yeah, they do great work. So we'll talk about nonviolent communication. We'll talk about internal family systems and how that kind of multiplicity within ourselves works. We'll look at these really important relational concepts and foundations so that the skills that we choose to learn make sense. And when they make sense because we understand the foundations, we don't need specific scripts given to us. We're just like, oh yeah, I get it. Saying be careful all the time isn't great because I'm talking all the time. And it isn't helpful for the relationship because I'm getting a little too close, but it's not necessarily stop saying be careful, right?
I think you're like, I love this because what you're saying is what we're doing with our children is to evolve their values and evolve their understanding of the world and evolve them so that we're more on the same page, as opposed to just top down going, be careful, don't do that, because that language, that action doesn't necessarily teach them the values or the reason or the logic behind why I'm feeling anxious. I remember when my kids were really little and they're running off the sidewalk to run across the street or something like that, right? Shouting, be careful at them. It might stop them in that moment just because they're like shocked at how loud I'm yelling, right? But really, it's more the whole concept of there's danger there and they're still young. They do run, like knowing that and accepting that as part of who they are. Yeah. As kids, and not saying my 2-year-old is so unwell behaved, like they're running across the street. And it's like, well, they're two. Looks like a road. Looks like a sidewalk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just one little example, isn't it? With that example of be careful, this hyper focus on what should I say, what shouldn't I say, where that just becomes so, it's a piece of the puzzle, but it just takes its place. And I think we give more room to ourselves as leaders who are understanding a process. Like, what am I doing here? I'm creating a home that is a container where there is room for everybody's feelings and there is room for all of the different people and all of the different stories they're bringing to every day in that home. If we didn't grow up in homes like that, what are some really important, carefully selected tools that help us to create a home like that, where we feel connected, where we feel like there's room for everyone, where we feel like there's belonging? What are some really inspiring and evidence-informed and connection-based concepts that are going to give us more confidence and knowledge as you're building and cultivating this type of home? And then the piece that is sometimes the hardest piece of the puzzle for a lot of parents to consider is, what kind of support am I creating for myself? Because
huge.
Yeah. So like coaches, that's really important. I love when parents reach out because they've decided to work with me because they want to, you know, choose themselves and they want to get some care for themselves. And I always encourage people in my community to have the kind of support that you actually don't even have to pay for as well. If you want to book 100,000 appointments with me, that is awesome because I love my work. But we can create these connections. And that's actually one of the things I feel the most proud of in my community is that parents have taken the very brave step of having listening partnerships with each other and coming to these weekly sharing spaces and sharing stories and hearing each other's stories, having belly laughs together. And that has really been one of the most transformative pieces, you know, of the work beyond taking the course where you're learning the skills and learning the tools.
I love that. I love that because healing and growing is relational. We need the network. We need the support. And kudos to you for creating a safe space, facilitating it and helping people find each other and then giving them the language too, right? Because it's one thing to put a bunch of people in a room together, but it's another to help them see that they have similar goals, help them have language to support each other through the challenges. That's a lot of work. This is something that I often say, like I gravitate in this podcast towards guests who are making the world a better place one trigger at a time. And I feel like that's what you're doing. And the better you are at your job, the more it seems natural for them.
Yeah. You mean as a coach?
You facilitating. Yeah. Like you creating these listening partnerships, creating the weekly spaces for them.
Yeah.
You're making it safe.
Thank you so much for saying that. And I was actually reflecting today on how some of the early indicators for me that this project was working. And yes, that people were feeling supported by me was the ongoing, the people who renewed the membership after a year, or the people who were still continuing to reach out for coaching when things got difficult. And I thought, actually, yes, that's good. It shows me that the work is helping the people I wanted to help. But it is the sign that people have decided to choose themselves and to make getting support and being in community an integral part of their life. And that to me is the biggest, because in my personal experience with my healing while parenting work, the piece where I decided that having my people and reaching out to someone when things get really hard was the difference between just getting by and actually growing closer to myself and closer to others and feeling more love and more belonging in those difficult moments, was creating that emotional village. And I was like, oh my gosh, that to me is a huge sign of success for my clients, that they've decided, yeah, that's what I do in life. Like when stuff gets hard, I am worthy of care. Of booking an appointment, or of reaching out to my listening partner, or of getting on that community call.
I love this. And you're normalizing things that more traditional societies had within, like more like whether it's a village or whether it's like a spiritual group or a religious church. You're talking about what a more traditional relationship would have been like. But in normal times where everybody's so busy, you've got parents are both working oftentimes, children are busy at school with activities, everybody's so disconnected and busy.
Yeah.
That we don't have that oftentimes built in or even taught to us from generation to generation anymore, especially immigrants, right? Like people coming from other parts of the world and really uprooting yourself from a society into a different society.
Yes, we are designed to live in communities of care and cultures where people take care of each other. And we now are in such an individualistic society that you really are a trailblazer if you decide, I'm going to create an emotional village. And okay, my coach swears by it, or there's this idea that it works. These steps might feel awkward sometimes for us to say, yeah, I'm going to go beyond this call where I share as a regular part of my life. I'm going to let somebody in when things feel hard. And I'm going to stop thinking that it's my job. Mm. I'm a separated mom, so I live alone, but often thinking it's my job or just me and my partner's job or just me and my bestie or just me and my mom to fill the needs that an entire village
used to. Right, because single parenting means that at any one moment, you almost can't really hand it right off to a partner. You will feel like I have to handle every single thing right this moment.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is. Yeah.
That's a lot. And so as you're building this, I love this emotional village, emotional community, what would you say has been the hardest thing to do? And what has been the most positively surprising thing for you as you're doing this work? With the parents.
It's funny because when you said, what's the hardest thing? I thought about the emotional village that I created with my friends here. I have two close friends who are both separated mothers as well. And for various circumstances during COVID, we just decided to really lean in and help each other. But all three of us have pasts of like trust issues.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Understood. Yes.
Yes. And our own versions of our mother wound stuff. And we experienced so much temptation at different points where we were helping each other out with caretaking. We even put together this pod where we just wanted to pull back and say, never mind, I'll just do it on my own.
Oh.
So these experiences where we decided to lean in and say, this is so vulnerable for me to say to you, because like I'm used to just being avoidant and withdrawing and then deciding I can do life on my own. I'm just going to stay and I'm going to lean in, you know? So that came to mind. And I know that's separate from the question that you asked about the community I facilitate.
But it's No, I don't. And I'm so sorry to interrupt. I have this bad habit of jumping in when I'm really excited by what you said. But I think it's a really important piece, because it's not just as coaches doing this. We know that the parents that we work with also have a tendency to do this too. So you experiencing this means that you really know this deeply, and that people do have a tendency to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know also that, because I kind of was the leader with my friends of saying, you guys, like, we have to do something, like, COVID is really intense.
Oh my gosh. 2 years of this, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it was about 2 years ago. And part of the reason though that I felt ready to do that is because I had been in the kind of certification village when I was doing my hand-in-hand training. And hand-in-hand, it's very villagey. It's very emotional villagey, the experience with hand-in-hand. Mm-hmm. Very parent loving. And there's such a high level of regard for children, but an equally high level of regard for parents there. And so I was ready because of that to start a community like that with my friends. And there's something very different about a community like the one that I facilitate for the parents that I support. And that is that parents know exactly what they're going to get when they come. The container is so clearly established. Like, you will show up on the call. We will do some list. We'll do listening partnership. We'll divide up into pairs. You'll be listened to for 15 minutes. You can share for 15 minutes. Like, people's bodies associate the space with sharing and connection and someone looking at you with warm, loving eye contact and just appreciating your untouchable inherent worth as you say some of maybe the most troubling and horrible things that have moved through your mind that week. And you've got someone there just loving you as you share that. And so people know, their bodies start to learn that is a space where you can bring the really hard stuff, but it's also a space where you can bring the celebrations, and you look around and there's just looks of warmth and delight as well, of people just being like, wow. And it's a very felt type of connection. It's not like a forced, like, woohoo, yeah, go you, mama, type of thing.
You mean some of that toxic positivity stuff sometimes where you're like, I don't feel it.
You got this, mama.
Yeah.
It's just like a, oh my gosh, you shared this thing with us that for you is feels so awesome because you were so nervous about your kids starting school and you got through it without all of the things you were afraid were going to happening to you or whatever. And people are just looking at you like, awesome. Yeah, thanks for bringing it. We're here with you.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think this is the space where we do that, which can be hard even with our friends and with our loved ones to be like, can we take a few minutes to like take turns listening to each other? Like, you know, it's just, we don't always want to bring that dynamic into our friendships. So sometimes that facilitated container where the dynamic kind of says, yeah, we're going to start with some listening because our bodies and our systems need listening and we're probably not getting enough of it in our day to day. And then we're going to have this discussion topic that allows us to reflect and share. If somebody's got a coaching question, bring it. It'll benefit the rest. And then we just kind of go.
I love that. Do you ever, because sometimes I'll run a session and my inner critic, you know, will come up and go, you don't really know what you're doing. And then when I really do let it go and go with the flow and whatever comes up and just be there to hold the space and respond, inevitably, almost pretty much always, what comes up for the parents really is what everyone else wanted to hear. Like it just somehow becomes something that we work through together. And it's never exactly the way I planned it.
And then you realize as it's relating.
Yeah.
It's just like parenting. It's just like being in partnership. And we take responsibility for what it's our job to show up with. I mean, I can't show up and just be like, okay, guys, whatever. You know, I did it because it's like, you know, I'm facilitating the space. I'm prepared to hold it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But when this is about practicing how to relate in healthy ways, because our bodies still struggle sometimes with it. Well, that's a piece of it, isn't it? So how do we show up with our kids? How do we show up with our partners? How do we show up on those community calls? I'm here. I'm taking responsibility for the role I have. Mm-hmm. And also, I am flexible and yes. I can bring my intention without needing the control.
100%. And so you're kind of role modeling that with them too, as they're seeing it in action and being on the receiving end of it and saying, oh, that's interesting. I think I can try that with my children too, because my nervous system feels good when you as a facilitator caught that, even though I took it off tangent, but you caught that and kept going with it. So now I feel safe. Like I feel safe with you. I feel safe with our group. That's neat. I'm really pleased that we resonated similarly in how we run groups. What I noticed, which I love, by the way, so this really resonates with me, the work that you do with parents, you say no homework and no scripts. Okay. So tell me why you picked this approach and how that's landing when you're working with the parents.
Definitely when it comes to parents taking the course and thinking, I'm going to have to do worksheets. And maybe some parents who love that say, I get to do worksheets, right? It's it's not necessarily that everyone's like me and doesn't want to work.
Me too.
Yeah. But I really feel like parents really deserve the chance to just show up to a space, sit on their sofa, open their laptop, prop up their phone, and just receive information, receive space so that they can question it, they can challenge it, they can ask for more information, they can ask very specific questions. Parents have to do so much already, so much 100%. Thinking and planning, yeah. That if no, you don't have to go do your own research. Do you love that and you want to because you're like me? Go for it.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're a content geek? So
exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't, but I don't think parents should have to on top of all the other things that they have to think about. So my approach is no homework. And after every call, I will send you some resources for if you want to listen to a podcast that will complement this topic, or if you want to read a blog post that will enrich this topic. But I feel pretty strongly that parents can absorb, listen, and then throughout the week, they're kind of moving that through the filter of their experiences and their intuition. And the way I work with parents as well is I like them to know they have access to me either through the Voxer app or through email, just depending on what group they're in. But then they could just be like, hey, this just came up right now. It just popped into my head right now. And to me, that is a much more effective way of parents integrating the information into their lives instead of like, oh, here's the worksheet that I have to go through, which worksheets can be really helpful in certain contexts. That's just really not my thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am connected with many other coaches and many programs, and a lot of them do have worksheets. And I actually respect a lot of those worksheets, and I completely actually see the value in them. And, you know, sometimes I'll do them because they're meant for us to know how it works for the parents as well. But I really resonate with your approach. I generally don't give parents homework. And I agree with you. You said that they can integrate their experiences with their intuition. And a lot of it is subconscious, right? Like we're planting seeds, aren't we? Like we're just inviting them to think about it differently. And then they will do the work. It's just that we don't have to literally guide them like sentence by sentence. You're planting it with them. It's so beautiful. I love that. So this then segues into the last question, which I love because everyone has different ways to answer this question. My question for you is, if you could give one piece of advice to parents who are working through their own inner child, mother wounds, et cetera, and now they're trying to raise responsible, resilient adults of the future, what would that advice be?
This is advice that I give myself at least once every 2 days, pretty much every day. Just remember that you get to do this for you. You get to do this for your family. You get to try for what your heart wants. You get to try for the story of connection, of belonging, you know, whatever it is that caused you to want to parent differently, whatever it is that motivated you when you looked in your baby's eyes and you said, I am going to do things differently. You get to do this. You get to try this every day. And there is so much messaging out there saying you have to heal for your kids. You have to fix your problems. You have to learn these skills. And I just really would invite parents to remember as often as possible, I get to mess up. And just because I messed up doesn't mean I don't get to try again. I get to try for what I want. No matter what I come from, no matter what pieces of my story still creep into my parenting all day long, I get to write my new story. I get to take my time. I get to reach out for support. You know, that shift, just as much as you need it, and for you, not just for your kids, for you and for your family.
Oh, Gabriella, that was incredibly beautiful. I just sat here receiving that and drinking it in and soaking it into my nervous system. I love that shift. It changes everything. It changes your rebellious side. It changes it changes your intention and your motivation. It changes the stress level. This is an opportunity. I get to do this. I get to mess up. I get to try. I get to change.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I just want to say that I've enjoyed talking with you so much. I feel like we're going to be talking more in the future. I'm so glad that we got connected. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so good. I really enjoyed our connection as well on all these topics. It's such a fun dynamic to have with you.
We'll have to do this again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sandwich Parenting Podcast. I hope that you learned something new that will help you along your parenting journey. I know I always do. You can always connect with me at www.sandwichparenting.com.